Okay, we've been looking at, did one session last time of preparing for destiny. We're preparing for destiny according to God's timetable of events for the future, so we're ready for what He's doing. We had this prophetic timetable that we've been looking at for best part of last 9 months in various ways. Foundation of this timetable is the call to intimacy, in which God is calling us to know Him, has His fatherhood and our identity as His sons, that we are a habitation of God's presence, and that from that place of intimacy and knowing the love of God, that we will allow God to transform and change our lives, so that He will remove from us everything that's a hindrance or a stumbling block, so He can raise up a generation, a Joshua generation, who will lead the next generation to their inheritance. Joshua and Caleb were the only two left from the generation that went around the wilderness and took the people into the promised land to get their full inheritance. And God wants His children to have their inheritance, because there's things coming in the future that we have to be ready for, with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit and God operating in our lives as we are like Jesus. As He operated, He brought the kingdom, and He calls us to bring the kingdom. Okay, we've seen that we've been invested with authority to fulfill our destiny. As Nigel sang this morning, it's time we need to wake up and take hold of who we are as the sons of God, because Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." He knows us, and He knew us before what happened here on earth. So in heaven, in eternity, God knew us, and He consecrated us and has appointed us for a purpose, a destiny to fulfill. Psalm 139, 16, "The eyes have seen my unformed substance." The unformed substance. Before we were even formed, God knows us. And everything about our lives were written in a scroll, in a book. Everything that was ordained for me has been written. I need to find and see that scroll. Our destiny has always been to rule, to bring heaven to earth. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule." And our destiny is to bring the rule of heaven to earth, so that we transform not just this planet, but our universe and everything beyond that. Psalm 24:7 says, "Lift up ye heads, O ye gates." It's talking about us being lifted up to that place of rulership and authority, that we become a gateway for the King of Glory to come in and fill this world through our lives. That is what God wants to do through us, that we will be a channel of His grace, power, mercy, everything of who He is, that we would manifest that here on earth. Zechariah 3:6, "The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua," who was the high priest, who was standing in the presence of God in the heavens, and said, "If you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my laws, then you will also govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here." And that was about a progression of relationship and levels of authority that would bring us to our sonship. And that is a picture of the heavens that this describes. So we are operating on the earth, and between us and the heavens is the atmosphere of the earth, where there are hierarchy of rulers, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in that atmosphere. But we do not have to go through that atmosphere to access the heavenly realms. So as we walk in His ways here, and we recognize that the kingdom of God is within us, that we are connected to that kingdom of God realm in the heavens, we can start keeping the laws, the principles of the kingdom, and bring in administering righteousness and justice. And we learn to be lords, kings, and sons in that level in the heavenly realms, and therefore within us, so that we're understanding who we are and what our identity is. And then we can start ruling the house. That's our own house, but also the house of the Lord. Then we can start judging the courts. And the kingdom has foundations of righteousness and justice. And it's God's people who are going to eventually judge angels and fallen angels. And we have a right to bring judgment to change things in the world. And eventually to have access to stand amongst those who are operating in the heaven of heavens. And Well, may go into that once I've been there and seen it. So, once we start doing that, we remove those hierarchy of authorities in the atmosphere of the earth, and we can start to rule. Ruling in light, ruling in love, ruling in righteous power. And when we start operating there, the influence that we have in the heavens will be manifested here on earth. And God wants us to understand and to access those realms. And I know quite a number of you are now accessing these realms in the heavens. And we want to see everybody to have their full identity. Now, then we will start to bring the kingdom of God on the earth. Not just in us, but through us. So that we start to shine with the glory of God and start manifesting, just as Jesus did, the rule of heaven on earth. Therefore, that will deal with sickness, disease, poverty. It will start to deal with the things that the enemy has done to rob God's people and the world of their inheritance, and it will start to get restored. We haven't got time to go into all that right now. Now, therefore, to have an investiture, the next thing before you have an enthronement, there is succession. Now, if we're going to be invested with the power of the kingdom, then we have to dethrone the things that are ruling in our lives, ourself, our soul, me, myself, and I. There's no place for me, myself, and I ruling if I want to see the kingdom of God flowing through my life, because I cannot get in the way of it. If I do, I will spoil it or block it. Therefore, I need to be dethroned. Therefore, nature, which has programmed me and my DNA from my past generations, needs to be restored and renewed. Nurture, environmental programming that I've had in my life, my upbringing, things around me, needs to be restored and renewed. Trauma, which is experiential programming, the things that have programmed our lives so we respond in particular ways, needs reprogramming. Therefore, I need to be transformed and restored to my original eternal condition. And that's what God wants to happen here, not just in eternity, but here, because what happens here will determine what I do in eternity once time is finished. And we looked at this picture before, the parts of our life, in our spirit, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling. They're knocking on the door, wanting to come out and to occupy the seat of government in our lives. And as they do that, then they can come into our heart, where our scroll of destiny is seated, and begin to transform us. And as we do that, then the glory from heaven starts to flow through our lives. Now, this picture is the picture we're starting to work through. Basically, everything happens in the kingdom from the inside out. If we try and change ourselves from the outside in, then we will be trying to change ourselves. We need to allow God to change us from the inside out. Therefore, we need to learn to surrender. To surrender ourselves, to surrender to the presence of God on the inside, so that the presence of God on the inside flows through our life, transforming us. And we've seen that in our spirit, there are different senses or different actions of the spirit that we need to let the glory of God flow through and activate. Because it's the Holy Spirit coming through those gates, those doorways in our spirit, that will come out into our soul. And as they come out into our soul, they will hit blockages and oppositions and things which have blocked all the gates in our soul. Because things have come from the outside in. So the things we've seen, smelt, heard, tasted, touched will have affected our soul. And if we try and change them by the things we see, smell, touch, and taste from the outside, all we'll be doing is reinforcing what they are, operations of the self. But if we allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, and the presence of God to flow through us, because we know He loves us, then we can be changed. We can be transformed as we allow God to actually do it. Last time we looked at what those senses of the soul were. Today we'll look at the senses of the spirit, those spirit gates. Fear of God, reverence, prayer, hope, faith, revelation, intuition, heavenly, and there's one there which we'll see in a minute. What are they? Those first ones are to do with fellowship, the presence of God in us. Learning to identify and know God by experience of who He is. So we learn to fellowship and trust Him in that place. And the others are to do with revelatory things, where God reveals Himself through us. So they are things where we see things of His kingdom, we hear His voice, we see what He's doing, and he gives us visions and dreams and revelations of what he wants to do. Without the first, the second doesn't really function. We need to know. But what are those things? Okay, fear of God. We need to understand that within us, there is the all-seeing, all-knowing, and omnipresent God. Omnipotent, omniscient, and whatever the other one, omnipresent. He's in us. And that is an awesome thing to actually think the God who's created the whole universe and within the universe is contained actually has chosen to come and dwell with us. So we become his habitation. Therefore, we have to prepare that habitation for him to dwell. The all-consuming fire of God is actually on the inside of us. Now, that's not fear as in, oh, I'm afraid of God, because if I know God's love, then I don't need to be afraid of him, but it is a fearful thing. It is an awesome thing. And God wants us to know that awesomeness of his presence. Reverence. It's the sense of honoring and respecting God, so that we would do nothing that would bring his name into disrepute or dishonor, or any other way that we would bring honor to him. And that will flow through us. Prayer. Prayer isn't getting on our knees, putting our hands together, and sort of saying, finishing it with amen. It is about a two-way relationship of communication where the Spirit of God, where the mind of Christ, where the heart of the Father are flowing through us in a relationship. And that relationship is two-way communication. That's why praying in tongues is so important. Because praying in tongues is our spirit praying and communicating with God. And we can do that without ceasing. We train it. We'll look at that in future weeks. Hope. That sense of where our visions and dreams and opportunities are flowing. And God shows us his will. Faith. Harmony, concord, understanding, knowing, where we come together in agreement with God. When he starts to flow through that, when he starts to show us what he wants to do, we start to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, because it flows through us. Revelation, inspiration, light, counsel, wisdom, flow. Now, we need to activate these senses. They don't automatically just switch on. We need to be hungry and thirsty and desiring them. Intuition, that gut feeling, instincts that we get, that is the Holy Spirit, is the Father revealing his heart to us, flowing on the inside. And there's a heavenly gate that we have connection with the heavenly realms and a consciousness of what's going on in heaven. Now, all those things are great, and you could have all those things wonderfully working, but without one other thing, doesn't mean anything, and that's worship. Worship is not what we did this morning in singing songs. Worship is a state of complete obedience to God. It's basically lying down and surrendering and coming in total submission to the will of God for our lives on a daily basis, on the basis of all the other things that are flowing there. They lead to us saying, God, I choose to surrender myself to you. And that's what he wants us to do. Now, we need to build our spirit. If we're going to connect up with God, those spiritual senses need to be exercised and they need to grow. Just like you would go into a gym to exercise your physical things, or you might go cycling or running, jogging or whatever else, you need to exercise the spiritual things that we have on the inside. Those gates need to be open and flowing. The life of God needs to be flowing through them. You can't do that without some effort. No one gets big muscles without effort. I know all those little things that you see adverts saying you can wear these electrical things around your tummy and you will get a six-pack by sitting watching the TV. Don't bother. They don't work. Because it takes effort to get a six-pack. It takes effort to develop spiritual senses. You can't do it by just hoping. You have to engage. What do? First, you give God first love, first place, and first priority. It will never work unless we give God the right of having first place in our lives. Then all the other things, praying in tongues, waiting on the Lord, which we'll look at in the future, all those other things work. If you don't give God first place, all those other things are a struggle. It comes, we have to give God the priority of our lives, to build our spirit. Mark 12:30. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. There's no room for half-heartedness there. It's all or it doesn't work. That's why God wants all of us. He wants us to surrender ourselves to Him. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If we're, well, it would be really nice to know God sometime, we won't find Him. You have to pursue Him. He's a lover who wants to be pursued. And He wants us to pursue Him with all our heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5, and do not lean on your own understanding. It's like so much of what we do is through our own understanding, and God wants us to trust in Him with all our hearts. And when we trust Him with all our hearts, we're allowing Him to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. Jesus said this in Luke 9:23. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. This is how it works. Deny yourself. Take up the cross, which is His death and victory, and follow Him, doing and fulfilling the destiny that He has for us. But we have to prepare our soul, our flesh, our mind, our heart, that area which is our self-awareness. Before Adam sinned, he had no self-awareness apart from God. Satan offered Adam and Eve self-awareness apart from God, and they took it. And in taking that, then now everyone's responsible to sort themselves out until we get a relationship with God back. And when our relationship comes back with God, we then have a choice. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Because when we become a Christian and the Spirit of God is in us, there starts a wrestling match for control of our life. The flesh wrestles against the Spirit. Verse 17, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. Now that's a challenge. Therefore, you have to deal with the flesh and deal with the desire of the flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit. Now, who is the real you? Your soul or your spirit? So, who is the things that you want to do coming from so that you may not do the things you please? Is it me? My what I please? Myself? Or is it what God pleases? Because I need the real me, who was created before the foundation of the world, on the throne of my life, to bring myself into line. And that takes time, and it takes a process of transformation. Now, our spirit, our being, we see a whole lot of circles there, which sets up who we are. Acts 17:28 says, for in Him, God, we live and move and have our being. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. We're made in the image of God. We live in Him, and yet we need to engage with Him. And so I have a spirit, soul, body, and those are made up of the soul, the subconscious mind, the emotions, the will, and then there's the conscious mind. Now, therefore, we need to understand this. How does this work? Everything flows from the inside out. As we give access to the Holy Spirit and the Father to fill us and be sat on the seat of government of our life, then through our soul and body can be expressed the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ. How many know fruit does not automatically appear on a tree? It needs to grow. You have to have leaves, then you have to have flowers, then you have to have something that fertilizes the flowers, then you start to get fruit, and then fruit grows. It takes time for fruit to grow through our lives. Gifts are given and they can operate instantly because they're a gift. You've been given something you can use. So the gifts of the Spirit can operate instantly, but without the fruit of the Spirit, they can be dangerous because they can be operated in the flesh and for selfish reasons. The glory of God, His manifest presence, is in us. God will not allow His glory to be manifested out of us until there is a holy life for it to flow through. Because it will be really dangerous if the glory of God started manifesting through us, through an unholy life, for us and the people around us. So all these things have to be expressed from the inside out, flowing out. The truth will be, who is on the seat of government of our life? Our soul or our spirit and God? Because that will determine whether we're going to change or we'll stay the same. Our soul, our subconscious mind, or our heart. We have our spirit and our conscious mind, and between the two is this area of the subconscious. We call it our knower or our heart. Now, in that area, there are memories, our beliefs, our values, lies, truth, mindsets. They're all within our heart. Jesus described it as soil that had lots of things sown into it. That's come through our DNA nature, which is from our parents. That sets up defense mechanisms and coping mechanisms and patterns of behavior that come from what we believe. Also, nurture takes place. So we had a whole lot of experiences of life being brought up, which trains us to operate in certain ways. Now, all those things also get connected with familiar spirits that are assigned to our life, who know us, and they lie to us, and they try and get us to operate from our false belief systems. Now, when revelation comes from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, things can start to change. Now, what happens is all those things on the inside of us manifest on the outside in the way we think. So, things like our reactions, our attitudes, our responses, fear, worry, all those things come from the inside and manifest in our mind. So, when God comes and we have an opportunity of surrendering to God, what happens is he can deal with familiar spirits, and we've challenged everyone here to deal with the things that lies to them and challenge them, and then start dealing with those things so that everything starts to get transformed. Our behavior patterns start to come from the revelation of the truth of God's word of who we are. Our mindsets are based on the truth of who we are. Our attitudes, the ideas that flow from our into our mind, suggestions, are flowing from the inside out. Part of the problem is, if we don't deal with all those things on the inside, we're going to continually have triggers which trigger how we think on the outside, and that's where the conflict takes place. So we have to be willing to allow God to transform us from the inside out. Our soul has emotions. Emotions operate in that area, and on the inside, they deal with our esteem, our worth, whether we feel love, security, acceptance, and value. All those things are operate within our emotions. Now, as a result of unmet needs, which means as a child or in relationships, we did not get what we should have got, which was love, security, acceptance, encouragement, all those things, we end up with low self-esteem or disappointments in our life, which result in feeling insecure, rejected, being dependent on other people, codependent relationships to try and meet the needs that I've got because I'm full of unmet needs. Because God has not been able to meet my needs, the world we look to, and we get hurt. Guilt, shame, all that stuff takes place from the things that happen there, their emotions. And then there are loads of unhealed hurts. Things that where people have hurt us, let us down, cause pain in our life, and as we've not learned to forgive because of unforgiveness, they set up anger, bitterness, resentment, all those things in our emotions. They're all emotional things. Now, those emotions can completely rule our lives if we let them. So we have to deal with them. So we have to bring forgiveness. They affect what goes on in our conscious mind, and they trigger things all the time. Our behavior, it doesn't just happen. Our behavior comes from the things that are on the inside of us, and God wants us to be restored and changed and have those things renewed so that the strongholds and all the things there get dealt with. Now, we also got a will. Now, our will operates, and if we sin or in rebellion or stubbornness, our will is damaged and effectively becomes a barrier to what God wants to do. And that sets up things like unbelief, indecision, control, doubt, fear, loads of things in our life. Now, as we deal with them, God wants to replace that with humility, confidence, patience, boldness, courage, determination, perseverance, self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. So all those things can happen if we allow God from the inside out to transform our life. Now, why have I gone into detail with this? Because you need to know how you operate. You need to know what's going on the inside of you. Some of you are taught to peel back the layers to actually see what's going on deeper down. That's okay, so long as you don't try and change yourself from the outside in. Because it will be a battle that you will lose over and over again. Because if you focus on the problem gets bigger. Focus on the solution and the problem gets smaller. Because you will see that in Jesus nothing is impossible and nothing is there that will stop God doing it if we surrender. Okay. So how do we prepare our soul? Well, Galatians 5:24 says this: for those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. We have to see the flesh crucified with its passions and desires. Do you know all the sin that we commit is an indicator of our need for God? Because we sin to try and make ourselves feel better about ourselves, which is an indication of how much we need God. Those of you who struggle with lust, it's because you desperately desire intimacy. And God is the best thing that you can find in terms of intimacy and love. It's like all that happens. Therefore, we have to surrender. If we live by the Spirit, we need to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Am I willing to love God and give myself up for him? For him to transform me, change me, and conform me to the image of Jesus so that I become like Jesus here on the earth. Now, for me, I did this as a crash course and worked through every year of my life to deal with every blockage in every area of my soul, and I did it in 3 weeks, which was really hard, but I had 3 weeks in which I could do it in. Now, I know everyone can't do it in 3 weeks, so I'm encouraging you to take a process, a choice today, to start working through the things that are in your life and allowing God to change you. First love gate is the key, because all of us have emotional damage through relationships, parents, spouse, family, friends, authority figures, which cause us to lack trust. Put barriers up to protect ourselves. When it comes to letting those barriers down and let God come in and actually be in control of our lives, we're often afraid to let go and let God be in control. So we have to deal with those things. Unmet needs will affect my soul desires and motives. Unhealed hurt will affect our emotional desires and motives. Unresolved issues in our lives will affect our trust. Now we have to surrender and allow God. And if we've got problems, we need to work through them. We need to forgive people who've let us down and disappointed us. We need to be willing to repent and renounce the things that we've done to meet our own needs and protect ourselves. So, things we need, and all of us need these things: acceptance, love, affection, value and worth, approval, significance, affirmation, identity and purpose, security, safety. They're all needs that God has built into us. They're all needs that he wants to meet in us himself. He doesn't want us to try and meet those needs through the flesh. All of us have met those needs through the flesh. All of us have been damaged. All of us need to be transformed and find God's love. So I work through these areas: my conscience, my imagination, the reason, subconscious mind, emotions and will. Each one of them to deal with the things that were blockages in stopping God flow through me and work through my life. Now, you think, that is really complicated and really hard. No, it's a choice. Do I really want God's presence and God's power and to be manifest in the kingdom of heaven on earth, or do I want to carry on living the way I've always lived? Because we've got a choice whether we're willing to go through this process and allow God to change us. So to deal with our conscience, because of sin and rebellion, gets dulled. Therefore, we have weaknesses, patterns of sin, normal, acceptable behaviors, which are not normal and acceptable to God, operating in our lives. We have to be willing to own them. You cannot argue with God in this process. If you do, you'll lose the argument and it will be much harder to be transformed. So I've learned to actually own it, confess it, repent of it, and renounce it. If God shows me it, I'm not going to argue. So, yeah, I've got sin areas in my life, weak areas in my life. And God showed me patterns of sin when I went through this process that I had to own. He said, yeah, I've acted like that. And I didn't realize until God showed me. But I opened up my heart and I asked God to show me what is going on inside me. And in doing it, I was able to repent, renounce, and my conscience became really sharp. I applied the blood of Jesus to it. I received forgiveness and cleansing. I refused to feel guilt, shame, and condemnation, because that's something the enemy brings. Every one of us needs to know that we're righteous, because God has made us righteous. And then reverence can flow through that conscience gate and can guide me and direct me in everything I do every day. But if that conscience gate is damaged, blocked, affected by sin, it will lead me astray. We need to have it transformed. Reason. Rationalism, skepticism, cynicism, denial, projection. Our mind will fool us into putting the blame on somebody else and not dealing with what's going on the inside of us. That's what we do. So we might have words, ideals, philosophies, doctrines in us that need changing. Familiar spirits, religious spirits operating in us. Behavior cycles that we recognize. Own it. Don't argue. Give up fighting for the flesh and surrender to the Spirit. And as you renounce doing that, apply the Word of God and the truth, and the mind of Christ will start flowing through us. So the thoughts of God will start flowing through us. Revelation and faith will flow through us. Imagination. Every one of us has seen loads and loads of negative images. Loads of them. We have to deal with them, otherwise the enemy will bring them back and will pollute our imagination so we won't be able to see a flow of revelation and images and visitation that we want in the heavenly realms and in this realm. TV, films, games, magazines, books, fantasies, life itself, whatever you've seen which is negative, we need to get rid of it. So own it. I owned everything I saw as sin. I repented and renounced of it, and I painted it out with the blood of Jesus. I now no longer have any of those images in my memory. They're completely gone. It's like having a filing cabinet in my mind that has A4 folders in it, or folders in them with little tabs that say something, and when you look in there, there's nothing in it. So I can remember the things that had happened in my life. I can no longer remember the details of it because they're gone and cleansed. So all those images are completely wiped out of my memory. So if you've got things that you're plagued with in terms of images, put it under the blood of Jesus and paint it out so that it's no longer there. We can have a purified memory and a cleansed screen so that we can see visions and have dreams and have revelation from God flowing. The eyes of our heart opened and enlightened. A flow of hope and a flow of revelation, visions, dreams, visitations in the heavenly realms, because our imagination is clean and cleansed. We need to actually do it. Same thing with our subconscious mind. All the memories, words, vows, curses, all sorts of stuff. Every trigger that you know is a trigger in your life, a coping mechanism, a defense mechanism, own it. Repent of it and renounce it. Apply the blood of Jesus, and that soil of your heart will be dealt with. The hardness will be dealt with, the stones and the weeds. And we'll get a flow of revelation knowledge from God. We'll flow through our subconscious and trigger the right things. And we'll be moved by the things that move God. Same thing for our emotions. All the hurts, the trauma, the betrayal, the abuse, disappointments, pain, rejection. I have to admit, yeah, I've hurt other people as well as I've been hurt. You have to, if you're having anger or withdrawal or depression, those are all things because of dealt with emotions that we either turn in or we turn out. All those mechanisms, we need to own them, repent, forgive and release all the hurts, repent of everything we've done to hurt others, renounce it, and we get to start to get a flow of God's heart, of intuition, of being moved by what moved God's. But I'm flowing through this really quickly. But I'm putting it out there so you can go away and you can deal with this stuff yourself. It's like you have to be willing to surrender and let God deal with it. Same with the will. If you've been stubborn and you've been rebellious, willful or controlling, you have to own it. Fear, doubt, unbelief, indecision, if they're operating in your life, own it, repent it of it, and renounce it. And in that process, apply the truth of the blood of Jesus, and God will start to work things in you. Patience, perseverance, persistence, courage, boldness, all those positive things. To get a flow of worship, a flow of obedience in which we're outworking the truth of God's word. Now, I want to finish there. And I want to encourage you, if you seriously want to surrender your life and allow God to change you from the inside out, then we're going to just make some declarations together of our willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to transform and to change us, to show us what's going on the inside of us so we can change. Don't pray these prayers or make these declarations unless you're willing, because God will put the squeeze on you like you've never known if you're not willing. It's like, better not say this if you don't mean it. But if you mean it, and if you truly want to change, then we're going to make some declarations, and I'd encourage you to stand if you want to make these declarations and be willing to speak out these things as I pray them out. Just speak them out with me, so that as we're giving permission for God, He's going to listen to what you're saying and the authority that you're giving Him, and He is going to start to move. And at the end, I'm going to pray, and there's going to be a release of the angelic to operate in your life. Seraphim angels with coals from heaven, and other angels, the gathering angels, to remove stumbling blocks from your life. So let's say this out together. Father, I choose to give you full permission to do whatever it takes to change me and transform me into the image of Jesus. I give you full permission to remove all stumbling blocks from me. I give you full permission to use whatever means you see fit to purify, refine, and restore me to my original condition, eternal condition. Father, I choose to deny myself, surrender control of my life to you. I give you my conscience. I repent and renounce of everything that's damaged my conscience. I ask you to purify and restore my conscience, direct and protect me through my conscience by a flow of reverence and the fear of the Lord. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my reason center. I repent and renounce doubt, unbelief, rationalism, skepticism, cynicism, and denial. I ask you to cleanse me of all false doctrine, philosophies, and ideas. I ask you to renew and restore my reason. Use my reason to interpret your thoughts and understand your ways. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my imagination. I repent and renounce of viewing any image that's polluted me. I ask you to blot out every negative image with the blood of Jesus. Purify and restore my imagination. Restore my screen, vision, and revelation. Father, I choose to deny myself and surrender control of my life to you. I give you my heart, my subconscious mind. I repent and renounce of all strongholds, negative belief and value systems, vows, words, curses, doctrines, triggers, coping and defense mechanisms. I ask you to cleanse every negative memory, purify, restore, and reprogram my heart with your truth, values, and my destiny. Father, I choose to deny myself, surrender control of my life to you. I give you my emotions. I repent and renounce of all unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger. I ask you to purify and restore my emotions. Use my emotions to feel your heart. Guide me through intuition. Father, I choose to deny myself, surrender control of my life to you. I give you my will. I repent and renounce of all sin, rebellion, stubbornness, willfulness, control, fear, doubt, unbelief, indecision. I ask you to purify and restore my will, restore my courage, perseverance, and boldness. Use my will to enable me to do your will through obedience and true worship. Father, I choose to follow my eternal destiny into lordship, kingship, and sonship. I choose as an ambassador to administer the rule of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Display me as a son of light on the earth. I choose to do the works of Jesus and the greater works. Now, Father, I just, as we've prayed this prayer together, I pray you would release the gathering angels who've been gathering here to operate in our lives, to remove all stumbling blocks, to restore, to heal, to make our lives whole, to bring us back into our eternal destiny and purpose. I release the seraphim angels into our lives to bring the coals from the heavens, the altar, to purify our lips, to purify our hearts in every way, so that we are conformed to the image of Jesus. I release the anointing of your presence over these next weeks and months to transform our lives, to change us into the image of Jesus, so we can be Jesus here on earth, manifesting the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And I just pray that for each day that we will surrender ourselves daily as a living sacrifice to allow you to change us. That we give up all efforts to change ourselves and we allow you to change us from the inside out as we surrender. Father, we thank you that you love us. You're not punishing us, but you're disciplining us to transform us into the person you called us to be from eternity past. We just bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name.